Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pecking Paradise podcast number 256, the third cross-dressing podcast since I started podcasting in 2012, and still changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. If you prefer to avoid the recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. $1 a month times 12 equals $12, and you'll get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you and your partner, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So, hey, everybody, welcome to the third cross-dressing podcast. I'm excited, and I might have to split it up into two podcasts again. You guys contribute quite a wealth of material, so I'm really excited about all this stuff. And, you know, leading into this podcast, I have a story for you. I was talking to a friend of mine about this cross-dressing podcast, and he's a cisgendered, mostly heterosexual guy who doesn't cross-dress, but well, we were talking about the whole thing of society's rules about how men are supposed to dress and all that, and he shared this with me regarding the difficulty of shedding those rules and doing what you want to. He plays a single-person RPG, which is a role-playing game. This is a computer game. And strategy is important in games of this sort, and you kind of make your way through all the different scenarios and things. For those of you who are World of Warcraft players, it's like that, except it's just a single-player game. So you earn money by doing things, and then you buy things to help you along the way that benefit you, whether those things are weapons or armor, or in this case, a dress. This dress had a plus 20 benefit in interactions with other characters in the game. All he would have to do is buy it, stop before he talked with a character in the game, put the dress on, and have the interaction. And the interaction would turn out better for him because he had the dress on. And he could take it off and go do whatever he was going to do the next thing in the game, right? And to be clear here, he's the only one playing the game. And even though he's there in front of his computer playing a single-player game, not an online game with multiple players, he resisted buying the dress and using it despite the plus 20 benefit because of society's programming. He just kind of looked at it and said, I don't want to wear a dress. And he realized it was really silly, but that is an example of how strong the programming can be, how strong that man box of how you're supposed to dress, how you're supposed to act, and all that stuff. So I thought I would open this podcast with that story. And from here, I'm going to talk a little bit about people who are trailblazing cross-dressing. Oh my gosh. Because, you know, these rules are breaking down slowly but surely, and I'm thrilled that they are. We have some amazing people out in the world who are leading the way in this regard, and I'm sure there are many others, but here are just a few folks I have really been admiring and enjoying. First of all, Jonathan Van Ness of Queer Eye. He is utterly fabulous in his relaxed and creative way of dressing and being. I have absolutely loved seeing the photos of him in DC, talking to Nancy Pelosi on the cover of UK Cosmopolitan and so many other places. He's just a treat to follow on Instagram. He's so authentic, it just blows my mind. I have his book, and I just started it. As a matter of fact, when the book was released, I went ahead and ordered a signed copy. Woo woo. I love The Queer Eye Show. For me, The Queer Eye Show is a bunch of kind, compassionate, fabulous people doing kind, compassionate, fabulous things for people in need. It's a feel-good show, and goodness, the way the world is today, can't we all use a little more of that? The next person I want to tell you about, their name is Alok Vad Menon. A-L-O-K-V-M-E-N-O-N. And this person identifies as they and them. Very gender fluid and nonconforming, identifies as a writer, performer, speaker, and fashionista. And it says hashtag degender fashion. Alok has an incredible, innovative style that just totally defies gender. One of the latest photo shoots was remarkable in that their leg hair, which is abundant, was groomed into these little circles, so they had these sweet little spirals and circles of hair all over their legs. It looked amazing. I'm a big fan of getting away from the hair-hating thing, so I particularly like this. Hair is marvelous. You know, in my world, perhaps trim the pubic area for accessibility, but I do mean accessibility only, not the whole take-it-all-off thing. But we all have our preferences. So, in particular, I admired this new take of Alok's with the leg hair. They are quite hirsute, I believe is the word. So that's always something that's a delight to see as well. The lipstick, the makeup, the fabulous hair, the colorful dresses, and all kinds of fashion on their body with the deep voice and the dark hair is just, it's fantastic. I absolutely love it. And then any mention of high-profile cross-dressing people would not be complete without mentioning Billy Porter. Good Lord, Billy Porter just slays me. In January, he showed up at the Oscars red carpet in an enormous, just perfectly tailored tuxedo gown, and I do mean gown. In May, at the Met Gala, if you haven't seen this, you really need to look it up. He wore a bodysuit that was like dripping with gold and massive golden wings and a 24-karat gold headpiece. And he was carried in on a lounge sort of affair by six shirtless men in gold trousers up on their shoulders, right? And with the Tony Awards, most recently, he showed up with a hand-sewn Elizabethan gown, which incorporated, believe it or not, the red velvet curtain that once rose and fell on stage for the entirety of his Tony Award-winning Kinky Boots, because he starred in that on Broadway in more than 1,000 shows. And so the red velvet curtain was part of this outfit, and there was plenty of pink tulle as well. There was all kinds of embroidered flowers and a corseted bodice. It was amazing. And one of his quotes is, "I want to flip the question of what it means to be a man." I follow all three of these people on Instagram. Or if you don't do Instagram, simply put their names in Google and search for images. It'll blow your mind, and I don't know, if you're like me, it'll make you happy. And if you're specifically here listening to the Crossdressing Podcast, it'll make you even happier because you lean that way to begin with. You enjoy that sort of thing. So yes, I'm sure there are other people who are out there who are doing fabulous things with cross-dressing, but I just wanted to highlight these three. Men can wear skirts and dresses and ruffles and lace and corsets and stockings and heels and anything they damn well please, and it's all okay. But particularly bless these trailblazers for opening up the hearts and minds to cross-dressing or genderless dressing, whatever you'd like to call it. Basically, it's dressing any way you like. So now I'm going to start with your letters. And you know, the very first one I'm going to read is who I'm dedicating this cross-dressing podcast to. He's the reason I decided to do another one. Here's his message. Wanted to drop you a quick line just to thank you for all that you do. Your podcasts are great and your writings are even better. A great deal of conversation topics between my amazing wife and I came from knowledge I gathered from both, and I cannot thank you enough. As I get older, I'm finding it more comfortable to be comfortable with my lifelong desires to cross-dress. So I'm going back and listening to older podcasts on the subject, and the three episodes you did on cross-dressing were fantastic. It was so nice to hear other people's stories and to feel a sense of reassurance that there isn't anything wrong with me. I also get to feel especially thankful that my wife is so understanding and wonderful about accepting this integral part of who I am. Should you do another episode on cross-dressing, I'd love to submit my story and experiences as a non-passable, kink-focused cross-dresser if you're interested. Thanks, Letty Munster, my cross-dressing name. So Letty is who you have to thank for this cross-dressing podcast, and the reason she mentioned three other episodes is because the first one I did was a single podcast, but I had so many submissions for the second one that it turned into two podcasts. So it kind of seems like three, but it was just a double episode the second time because there were so many submissions, which is delightful. So thank you, Letty, for inspiring me to do another cross-dressing podcast. So let's get to your letters. It sounds almost cliche at this point to start an origin story with, I've been into cross-dressing as long as I can remember, but I think I need to start there. I'm a child of the 80s, and as far back as 5 or 6 years old, I remember women with intense big hair and power suits with severe heels and pantyhose. I more than once, quote, rescued a pair of hose out of the trash when they'd get a run in them from my mother, because I loved the tactile sensation. It's a dated one, but I still love that look. Fast forward to the teenage years when it went from a purely tactile thing to a full-blown kinky fascination. I have vivid memories of unlocking the cable box when my parents would go out and watching the Playboy Channel with my older brother. There was one particularly salacious movie that had a woman being stalked by paparazzi, and she goes into her house wearing a full-length fur coat. It was in the early 90s. They were still a big thing. But when she gets into the house underneath, she is wearing just a black bra, panties, garter, stockings, and the tallest heels ever. Her hair was pulled back into a tight bun, and she had on some librarian glasses. It's been almost 30 years, and I can still remember that scene with more fidelity than the CRT that showed it to me had. My brother had some friends who would do Rocky Horror on the weekends, and he'd sneak me in with them, and I'll never forget the first time seeing Frank come down the elevator, shrug off his overcoat, and seeing him in his hairy, armpitted, chest hair having, fishnet and heels wearing glory. The line in Don't Dream It, where he says, "Whatever happened to Fay Wray, that delicate satin-draped frame? As I clung to her thigh, I started to cry because I wanted to be dressed just the same." Plays in my head every time I'm pulling on stockings to this day. I won't even talk about Columbia in her fishnets and frilly socks. That's a whole other fetish altogether. The teenage years were really hard for me overall. I wasn't shy, but I wasn't good at sports. I am, and always have been, outgoing, and in your formative years, you're trying to find the identity that works for who you are. The trendy thing in high school at the time was for girls to claim bisexual, but the guys were on this endless quest to prove how utterly masculine they were. Toxic masculinity was at least 25 years out from even being a phrase. But here I was, cracking jokes with them while wearing a pair of fishnets and a garter under my jeans. Mail order was wonderful back then. I questioned, am I gay and I just don't know it? Or, what the fuck is wrong with me? Constantly, in my head. And while I had no desire or interest in other guys, my love of the sensation of sexy underthings made no sense. The internet wasn't really a thing. BBS boards were, though. And all I had was an ever-growing collection of Penthouse forums and Variations magazines that I could buy from a particularly cool gas station attendant. Any issue that had a story about a man going out in women's clothing would get read over and over until the pages were ragged. Every few months, I'd get pissed off at myself and be disgusted with what I was craving, and I'd purge everything in some restaurant dumpster after school. My girlfriend at the time knew about it, but didn't really like it and was worried that I was secretly gay. Add that to the fact that I was friends with all the freaks and weirdos, still am, and she didn't quite know what to make of it all. After high school, we got an apartment with a few other folks, and when everyone was gone, I'd go to the local porn shop and buy some hosiery and panties, and spend a quality evening lounging around and enjoying the feeling of underthings in full view, or I'd sit on our apartment porch with my stockinged feet propped up on the rail as my own private bit of decadence. I'd hide my goodies in the bottom of some bag that I knew my girlfriend wouldn't look in, so whenever she was out or I had the place to myself, I could indulge some more. Fast forward through another decade of buy, enjoy, disgust, purge, desire, buy, enjoy, disgust, etc. And one night while drinking, I told my wonderful wife about the fact that I couldn't keep doing that, and that it was such a lifelong thing that I couldn't see it as a phase anymore. To my absolute and complete surprise, she was 100% okay with it, with the caveat that it didn't become a total requirement for all sexy time activities. A few months later, she comes out of the bedroom with a face that looks just horrified, and she hands me a box. In that box was a pair of purple panties from Crossdress that she bought me on her own. She was scared because she wasn't sure how I was going to react to her kind of bearing her desires to me. We had an epic session of passionate sex that night, and from that point forward, we vowed that we would trust each other with our kinks and to approach them with enthusiasm and understanding. Through our conversations, I discovered something about myself that I never realized. It's not entirely about the feel or the depravity, which are both part of it, but also my absolute love of the female form. I have a hard time thinking men can be sexy unless you're chiseled out of stone like a Jason Momoa or a Chris Hemsworth. I'm a straight dude, but even I look at those guys and say, damn, that's one sexy man. I do all of the standard super masculine stuff, but for me, that just feels like stuff I like to do, so I don't know what I could do to make me appear sexy on demand, the way a woman can when she puts on something provocative. I wanted to feel sexy. I wanted to feel wanted. I wanted my adoring wife to look at me with the same lust that I look at her with. My growing comfort with my kink has led to my wife opening up to me about some of the things she was scared to tell me about because she thought I would take it poorly. The irony that we both had deep-seated kinks, but the reaction we were expecting from each other were the same and 180 degrees off from the reality. I didn't even know that I had kinks that lined up with hers, but seeing her sexuality blossom as we both became comfortable has added her list to mine. Our sex life honestly has never been better and seems to be improving constantly. Many times lately we've been mid-session and she'll tell me to go put on a pair of panties and fuck her with them pulled off to the side. As soon as I put on a pair, she gets twice as wet almost instantly. The hardest part of my entire journey into cross-dressing was coming to terms with the fact that there was nothing wrong with me. It wasn't a phase, and that communication goes a long way. I accept that if I do something that my wife is not comfortable with, I will gladly not do it because of the respect that I have for her. Let me reemphasize that last most important part for anybody listening or reading this. There is nothing wrong with you. As long as what you're doing is safe, sane, and consensual, let your freak flag fly with absolute gusto. I'm not out about my cross-dressing with anybody other than my wife. I applaud anybody who is. But my particular situation would not be improved by being out and about to others. There are a few friends that we are toying with the idea of sharing my, quote, dirty little secret with, but we'll continue to discuss that open and honestly until we decide what is best for our journey. So there you go. I'm a very happily married, straight, cis male, occasional cross-dresser who is into pegging, and I am finally okay with that. Thank you for everything you do for the community. Letty Munster. Good morning, mistress. This is my true story of being a closeted, mostly, cross-dresser. I started wearing panties about 10 years ago. I had a girlfriend at the time who was into it. After she and I broke up, I became very embarrassed about my panty collection, and I tossed them all out. After a year or so, I caved and bought more panties. Since then, I've asked every girlfriend I've had if I can wear panties. Most of them have agreed to it. I've secretly wanted to go further, but I've always wanted a dominant woman to guide me into it, or even force me to go further. A few years ago, I learned that a very attractive lesbian who works with me is a dom. I spilled my secret to her that I wear panties and that I'm submissive. Last year, she started making me send her pictures of myself in panties. She teases me all the time that she's going to show off all of my pictures at my wedding someday. My lesbian friend has been relentlessly telling me to shave my legs and do squats to have a bigger ass. She's also been telling me to wear a skirt for her amusement. I finally ordered a skirt and nylon stockings. I wore them for the first time last night and sent her pictures. She loved it. I loved it. I couldn't believe how exciting it felt to wear a skirt and nylons. Whenever I was taking pictures to send her, I realized that I had my legs spread apart in a masculine manner. I pulled my legs together and held them tight at the knees. It was an incredible moment when I realized the different ways that men and women hold and move their bodies. It was so intensely exciting to be moving and acting like a woman. My friend has ordered me to shave my legs. She also wants me to wear a wig and take the plunge for a, quote, full cross-dressing experience. I'm very excited to try it. I want to be treated like a girl in every way. My name is Dan, but as you might expect, I secretly desire to be called Danielle. Good evening, Ruby. I figured I would share my side of the cross-dressing and how it fits in my kink world combined with other things. I first started to, quote, borrow my stepmother's or sister's items when I was about 12 years old. I actually learned about masturbation through dressing up when I got an erection, and the silky fabric rubbed me just right. It felt so good I kept moving back and forth until I had my first orgasm. After that, I was hooked. Eventually, I got greedy and kept a few items. Well, that eventually led to me getting caught by my parents. That turned into counseling, of which my parents and the counselor tried to push that I was touched inappropriately by another man, and that is why I liked it. I was young, didn't understand my body yet or the feelings I was having, and that counselor only made it worse. After a year or so of feeling guilty for liking it, I finally fell to my desires some more. The dressing up led me to doing some internet searches that led me to pegging, or at that time was more common to be called strap-on. This led me to sneaking into an adult store and buying a few toys and DVDs. By the time I was 15, I would love to put on some extra frilly panties and use a dildo to masturbate with. I was stuck in this cycle for another 4 years until I finally broke the topic with my wife. At this time, she was my girlfriend. Little did I know, she found my stash of DVDs and toys. She was supportive, thankfully, and that only helped more. That counselor really screwed me up from years prior. So much so, it really took me a long time to be open in the kink community about dressing up. If you look at my pictures, you will see I really have built my confidence on the matter now. So to further address your questions, why do I do it? Many reasons for different things. If alone, it is a relaxing aspect. Kyle no longer exists for an hour or two, but Samantha does. It really relieves stress like no other, besides maybe puppy play, which is also a very similar mental break aspect. I'm an executive running a multi-million-dollar company with daily stresses that most people can't comprehend in a month. Sometimes, when no kids are going to be around, I like to dress up and clean the house, make dinner, massage my wife, paint her nails, and get real submissive. It helps to get in the submissive mindset in those times. We can and do play with chastity and impact play as well. Other times, it's just for fun. We do more of a playful makeup setup and outfit, and it's about just having fun. I've worn panties every day for 3 years now. So the last reason is, it just feels good on the eyes, the skin, the smells. The colors are so much more happy and with different options. The feeling of the lace, the silk, the satin, they all feel so much nicer than rough cotton. Lingerie always smells better, too. So that is my side of the topic. My name is Lori Melrose, also known as Lori MZ, and I help moderate the Crossdressers and Admirers group on FetLife. I just saw a message you posted within our group requesting source material on a few subjects, including crossdressers' personal stories, one for your upcoming podcasts. As a result, I thought it might be useful to send you a copy of my writing, Deeper Thoughts About My Crossdressing. The story goes as follows. Every once in a while, when it is possible to drown out the white noise of day-to-day concerns, I wind down into a calm state of mind, lay back into a comfortable chair or bed, wrap myself in a warm plush blanket, clear my mind, and reflect on the deeper significance of several issues in life, including cross-dressing. Generally, I focus on what it means to me and why it remains such a consistent and recurring compulsion. I had long since come to understand how and why it started in preteen years after a fair bit of contemplation and self-analysis, but it still continued to be a source of psychological confusion and occasional shame up to my late 20s to early 30s, until finally coming to terms with its apparent purpose in an overall sense. This unusual activity was effectively a form of escapism and something of a coping mechanism for dealing with high levels of stress during a stretch of several particularly difficult years. That realization certainly relieved a great deal of personal trepidation over my involvement in this type of behavior. I suppose one can consider it less destructive than other forms of distraction, such as drugs, alcohol, or extreme sports, although that may be debatable. With respect to present day, I still find myself asking questions despite previous understanding and presumably possessing a lower stress work environment. Why do I still enjoy dressing up once in a while? Again, after a fair amount of reflection and contemplation, many of the reasons remain the same, although the elements, which may have been minor in the past, have risen in significance. Particularly in light of my historical social development, or lack thereof, let me explain to some degree. Most of my working life has involved non-standard hours, particularly midnight shifts, which negate normal social interaction and establishing traditional relationships. Although this contributed to a high level of self-reliance, it also created a certain degree of loneliness and a disconnect from various forms of emotional experiences. To be quite specific, being out and about as my usual, somewhat shy and reserved male self has never yielded any exciting or interesting experiences. On the other hand, being out in femme mode as vivacious, dressed to impress, Lori, certainly has been far, far more exciting, effectively making me feel alive during the process and opening up a whole new world of emotions, some of which have been overwhelming at times. It has been a slow, incremental process of trying this and that to see if different types of interaction are pleasurable or not. Perhaps I am seeking adoration, attention, or maybe a deeper connection of love, all of which had been missing in my life for a very long time. Not really sure, I must say. In any case, it has been and continues to be an interesting journey with an uncertain destination so far. Lori. First off, I wanted to define, from my perspective, what the word cross-dressing means and how it is used. I don't consider myself to be a cross-dresser. I consider the word cross-dressing to be a term used to describe someone who has a desire to wear clothing of the opposite gender, to create the illusion that their outward appearance is that of the gender they present via the clothing they are wearing. There must be a scale for this, ranging from drag queen or king to someone that wears panties or a jock strap under their jeans. It's more about the reason they do it rather than what they are wearing. Many hetero men will go all the way to wigs, breast forms, gaffs, female bodysuits, makeup, nail polish, all for the way it looks and how it makes them feel feminine. They may even have a name for the persona while in dress. All of this to fulfill a non-sexual desire to dress. Once the sexual desire is added to the act, in my mind, it changes the term. Similar to the difference between the word kink and fetish. Kink is something you like. Fetish is something you have to have to get off, although these terms are used together to reference the same thing. Sorry, but words mean things, and allowing the use of the word crossdresser to describe someone that wears pink silky panties to heighten their sexual experience during solo play or with a partner allows society to put me in the same place as someone who wears a wig, dress, and breast forms to create an image of femininity for non-sexual reasons. So I will claim to have a lingerie kink and call it transvestitism. It's a purely sexual desire that is quenched as soon as orgasm is reached. Attempting to describe the sensation that I have when I see panties anywhere, literally anywhere, on the floor, in the hamper, on a woman, in a Sears and Roebuck catalog, is going to be hard, but here it goes. While shopping with my spouse in the women's clothing department as she shops for a bra, my eyes dance all over the racks of panties, eyeing the colors, styles, fabrics, and there it is. Cost is irrelevant. I'd pay anything to have it. When you see the object of your desire, you just can't take your eyes off of it. It will consume your every thought. You start thinking, how can I feel it? I walk by it, letting my elbow brush it. I have to have it. How can I make it mine? When can I slip it on? The seed is planted. Over the next few days, my mind keeps going back to the vision of those pink silky panties. My heart beats stronger. I can feel it in my ears. My breath becomes shallow and my mouth goes dry. I wake up in the night and browse websites looking at those beautiful silky garments, longing to touch them. Again, the desire grows. Click. Buy it now. Wait. Track the package. It's here. I can no longer stand it. The erotic desire overtakes me, and I go to the bedroom, strip down, and take my pair of my pink satin panties, the ones with the full back, lace edges, and mid-rise. I sit on the bed and put one foot in, then the other. I stand, slowly pulling them up over my knees. The material begins to touch my thighs, pulling them further up over my derriere, my heart now pounding and my erect cock throbbing. I look in the mirror and see them on me. They don't look near as good as they feel. My male body looking nothing like the model that wore them in the picture on the tag. I begin to caress my body, touching the edges of the lace waistband, teasing the tip of my erection and lightly rubbing now erect nipples. My cock, harder than ever, just reaching the top of the lace, dripping with pre-cum, making a wet spot in my panties. I lay down on the bed and lightly rub my fingers over the fabric, making my engorged member throb and my heart pound in my ears. God, I want to come so badly, but I don't want this feeling to end. I place my hand over my balls and caress them through the fabric lightly, and occasionally trace my fingers up the shaft. I am about to explode. My desire is at its limit. I take my dildo and spread lube all over it, pulling my panties to the side. I slip it inside me. Moans of pleasure escape my lips. I place my panties over the dildo to hold it inside me and rub the extra lube from my hand onto my cock, just the head of it at first, mixing it with the pre-cum and adding more lube as I go. I work my hips against the dildo, feeling the pressure on my prostate, and begin to stroke my cock, bringing myself to the edge, and then allowing the pressure to subside. Once more, I slowly stroke my cock. I pull the waistband of my panties down until they are cupping my balls. As I stroke my dick hard this time until I explode, jizz flying through the air on my stomach, chest, and face. I'm laying there, catching my breath, my ass still clenching onto the dildo, my upper body covered in cum. I slowly remove the dildo from my ass. It doesn't want to let go, but relents. Me, my panties, and dildo all head to the shower to clean up, the warm water rinsing my body, wet panties clinging to my skin. I slip them off and gently hand wash them, then the dildo. I step out of the shower, hang my panties to dry. The savage beast has been laid to rest for now, but I know it will be back. Why? Who knows? I stopped caring years ago about why. All I can tell you is, it starts with noticing that girls have different underwear than boys, which leads to closer examination, which leads to trying them on, which leads to trying on more things that girls wear, and equating it with orgasm, wonderful, glorious orgasms. Joe. Dear Ruby, my name is Kai. Like a lot of people, I first began experimenting with gender presentation in my teens. I put on nail polish for the first time in middle school. I borrowed my tutor's frosted pumpkin nail polish. It was basically a shade of coral. I didn't really care what the kids said because it's nice, and since I bit my nails, it stopped me from doing that for a day. When I got home, I caught so much guff from my elder brother, who wanted to out me over it as soon as our mom came home. I quickly scratched the nail polish off so I could say he was lying. It didn't work. My family was one of those liberal families endemic to the Midwest and much of the USA, wherein the family is fine with LGBTQ folks in principle and is against mistreating queer folks, but discourages any family members from being queer. Anyway, I got my first skirt when I was in college, and I was in love. My mom kept exclaiming, "No," as I stood there, but I loved the feeling of a skirt on my legs. I didn't care whether it was gay or straight, trans or cis. My skirt was comfier than pants, especially in the summer heat. Before too long, I started experimenting with makeup and nail polish, trying to do a goth look but failing miserably and being scared to practice. After college, I had enough time alone with myself and gender non-conforming friends to realize I am gender fluid, and since then, I have come out to my family and found emotional support networks here and there. There are a lot of people like me who defy gender presentation and have disabilities, so we tend to be even more supportive of one another in our various struggles. I forget when I got my first pair of panties, but I remember my first thongs and how sexy it felt to have my ass cheeks available to be played with. Dating is a challenge, but some folks are genuinely okay with it when they see how hot some of us look with a little makeup and a cute outfit. Gender nonconforming folks are fine with it as a rule, but cis folks freak out over things like nail polish, makeup, or whatever. They expect me to want to transition and think I should take whatever jobs I can get, ignoring things like the hostility of employers toward gender nonconforming folks. At one point, there was a policy at a national grocery chain that said employees must wear the underwear of their assigned at birth sex. I really would have liked to see them try to enforce that rule. I think that some of my favorite relationships and sexy times have been with people who were just into the gender play, and how it felt to be with someone comfortable enough with oneself to want to be sexy in lots of different ways for them. Some people really get off on it. I think that if your partner clearly likes gender bending or cross-dressing, you should talk with them about it and, above all else, appreciate it. Actively discouraging cross-dressing has the opposite effect, and the person will just want to do it more. You'll only be hurting the relationship by trying to suppress it. Cross-dressing is actually very healthy. Imagine this. We accept it as normal for women to wear men's shirts or boxers, and a lot of men fetishize it. By direct contrast, society frowns on men donning feminine attire, even though it's been around forever. How nice would it be if your guy was all dolled up with a little makeup to highlight his eyes and lips, his nails done up in a pretty color, his warm body clad in soft and lacy fabrics that breathe as you caress him, his hardening member pressing against the material of his panties as you kiss and fondle him. He moans deeply in your ear. You smear his lipstick as you kiss him deeply and relish the perfume of his scented body lotion, his soft, moisturized skin caressing yours. With the taste of his lipstick on your tongue and the look of various expressions of pleasure rippling across his face as you pleasure him. He is not weak for wearing these garments, not by a long shot. You feel his heart pounding as his blood pumps to engorge his member, as his smooth legs and their nylons position him to penetrate you. You take turns being on top, and after bringing him close, you don a strap-on. His stretched butt is ready for you as you both lube up everything, and he takes a ride, pumping his backside up and down your shaft, his panties down, his body shuddering as he climaxes harder than ever before, calling out your name, glowing. You already came a few times, but now he has virtually exploded with passion. His lingerie is steaming in fresh sweat as he climbs off, cooing and embracing you. As stated, cross-dressing is very healthy, and chances are you found that scene rather enticing. This is because, just like a lot of things, the only material element to human relationships is the immaterial. The connective bonds we build and the people we are inside are what make us. That is why some of history's greatest warriors wore makeup, heels, lace, and silk and had long hair. Our binary gender presentations are only a couple hundred years old. What matters is everything else about us. I think the same goes for cross-dressing the other way. If you're a woman or person assigned female, and you love wearing masculine clothing, that's great. Wear it. Love it. Make it your own. We have too short a time on this earth to let Beau Brummel dictate our lives. If you only feel safe dressing up at home, fine. If you only want to gender bend in the bedroom once in a while, fine. But the important thing is to talk about it openly with one another, to appreciate what you have together, and treasure how you have grown as people. For me, growing my hair and nails out makes me feel beautiful, and putting on makeup makes me feel and look gorgeous. Enough practice with these things and you can rock it as a look. Haters will find any excuse, so don't let them get to you. If you like wearing something different or presenting differently, make it your own. If it just gets you off, then enjoy it. You aren't hurting anyone. And if anyone gives you religious shame over it, remember that the Kabbalah, parentheses Jewish mysticism, recognizes 5 distinct genders as perfectly lovable by the God of Abraham. And also, according to Kabbalah, Jehovah is non-binary in gender. Haters can go die mad about it. Rock those heels, love yourself and your body, and revel in life's joys together. It is not hedonism, it's a mitzvah, parentheses, a sacred obligation. Kai. As a closeted crossdresser responding to your post on crossdressers and admirers, first of all, let me say it's a pleasure to peruse your profile. Much depth being evident, I appreciate your ability to communicate above the groin in an erotic and potentially emotional context that sex is ever a part of. Eroticism ideally should always have an element of romance to it, in my opinion. As a bisexual male that crossdresses, I've realized how few men, parentheses almost none, bi or straight, can approach a crossdresser with any semblance of really romantic forethought, based on some level of affection for the person behind the body and clothes. When I'm in femme mode, I feel exactly the same way a woman would about a potential boyfriend. So I consider myself two-spirited, having much of the sensitivity of a refined femme, while at the same time taking part in some of the better aspects, hopefully, of the male gender. It's not always a good idea to show your vulnerabilities to a woman, however, and so, as a crossdresser, two-spirited, I spend a fair amount of time betwixt and between the two poles of gender that the majority of people create. Not exclusively one or the other. I guess that makes me gender fluid. At any rate, it makes it difficult to find a person to try out, quote, her new lingerie on, her newest bedroom makeup, or even her newest cooking recipe. Usually being a nurturer and finding enjoyment in taking care of the home, I also like to cook, house clean, and so forth, so I enjoyed your writing post about a similar scenario between a career woman and a house husband. Although in my case, quote, housewife would be a more appropriate term. Anyway, I hope you get the idea of what it's like from my perspective. I also know that all crossdressers are a little different from each other, and I'm sure you'll get varied responses. Zindra. You have reached the end of part one of Pegging Paradise podcast number 255, Crossdressers number 3.